We're on. Like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee to order. Today's September 6th. We're in an immediately following session time slot. The meeting times, start time is 10:44 a.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt?
That's you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here. We have a quorum. I believe Congresswoman Stabler is in the building. She wasn't noticed that we were starting right now. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Pratt, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our rain. And just thank you for all that you do for our people. I ask a blessing be upon those who are sick and those who are having trouble in their lives, Father, who are sad, those with addiction, and those who are just needing you, Father, your comfort and guidance, and those incarcerated. I ask this blessing for all of us, our Osage people, and our communities, that you comfort our children in our community right now with the loss of a 14-year-old boy to suicide, and just that our community comes together and our parents have you and your guidance and your love in their lives, Father, that we treat one another well and comfort our children. And that they treat each other with respect and love, and they have young lives that are worth so much. And so I just ask that you be with them, Father, and comfort our community at this time. I ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Congressman Pratt. Approval of minutes is the next item on the agenda. Clerk Merle, on the second page, we have a motion to reflect that section 75 at the very top of the page was considered. All the motions to reflect say section 75. Congressman Tillman.
Had the first vote by the committee reflecting the 5 members, and the last 2 6 yeas, 0 nays. Am I missing where? Congresswoman.
Well, that's very, I have my hand up, but
Congresswoman Pratt
is that I'm pretty sure I was here. First of all, it says called to order at 3:06 a.m., so it should be p.m. And then I was pretty sure I was here the whole time. Right?
Yeah, it was
You were, because you had legislation that you presented during the entire meeting.
Right.
So which one is it? The 5-0 vote needs to be corrected?
Yeah, it needs to say I was present, and then it needs to be changed to
6 yeas.
Yeah.
Okay, so Congresswoman Pratt was present. The 306 needs to be changed to PM. We need the sections to be corrected. Do we want to visit these?
I'm going to make a motion for us to approve the minutes for September 5th at the next meeting. So that she can, that's a lot of changes. So let's just.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Wait.
Any more discussion? All in favor say yes.
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 We are going to delay these minutes for tomorrow, Ms. Merle. Okay, we're going to move on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is consideration of ONCA 1848, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2019 in the amount of $74,083,012, and to establish an alternate effective date. I'm going to relinquish the chair to Vice Chairman Tillman, I believe, correct?
That is correct.
And so you have the chair.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Next item on the agenda, I'd like to invite Jan up to the table from DNR. Please come and join us. You want to come down here and get in the middle. There you go. Thank you. And I will turn it back over to Congresswoman Whitehorn to continue.
Thank you, Congressman. This is a part of the executive branch bill. We have our director of the Department of Natural Resources here with us. She administrates some federal, some non-tribal dollars and some tribal dollars. Her department runs off of these six different budgets, and she's here to talk to us about what she does. Section 22 of the bill is what the budget calls Department of Natural Resources. Let me see if I have the correct budget up here. Do you have your budgets with you,
yes,
Ms. Hayman? Okay, and we're looking at a budget that's stamped in August 29th, is that correct? Okay,
yes.
Great. All right, so let's, if we can, we'll just go through and review each one and you can tell us. And then after we, well, let's start it in a different way. Let's go ahead and review your, you have some support documents, and then we'll look at your budget. Well, tell us about what you're doing right now.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and go over what our department does. I provided an amended FY18 annual plan to reflect some additional funding that we got, that we received in 4/18, which includes the Bureau of Indian Affairs Water Management Development funding. So specifically with that funding, let me get my, got too many papers here. I was gonna briefly mention what that does. Under that funding, we specifically are going to identify the water needs of agriculture and petroleum industries within the Osage Nation, and using that information, analyze the water supply available to support the development of agriculture and petroleum industries within the Osage Nation. So that's what that funding is specifically used for. So that funding is just set aside to use towards an engineering firm to do those tasks for us. That doesn't go to pay salaries or anything like that. And we've received this funding multiple times over the past few years. So I just wanted to mention what that specific funding was used for.
Oh, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
How much is that funding, and do you already have somebody engaged?
$100,000.
Good.
And we do. We have Stetson Engineers.
All right,
as
great.
The firm.
Thank you.
And we also, on the ATO, received funding, and so I need to re-amend the FY18 plan. Funding came in under the invasive species, I'm sorry, the noxious weed program, and it's for invasive species management. So that specifically does, that funding does come to our department for salaries. So we're using that funding to help offset some of the costs for FY19 in our tribal services budget. And that funding is for $120,000.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So, can you tell us what you do with that fund? I mean, how that funding, is it used for spraying? Is it used for analyzing our weed population? And do we use it specifically on our nation-owned property?
For this funding, we're specifically looking at feral hogs as the invasive species. So we are going to acquire supplies so we can do kind of a survey to see what, and we know that there's feral hogs out there, but so we can kind of assess the population in Osage County on tribal property. So we're intend to focus heavily on Bluestem Ranch for that specifically, but there are other tribal properties that we can look at. And there's funding in this to also purchase or build feral hog traps. So we can either deploy those ourselves, or we want to work with the landowners or work with Bluestem Ranch to deploy those on tribal property, or work with tribal landowners to help them with their. So that's what that funding is focused on.
Thank you. Okay.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Chair. So you mentioned hog traps, and you can utilize this for hog traps for the feral hogs. So I'm aware of other funding that's available for the government assistance with helicopters and the shooting, and you taking care of the hogs that way. Is that something you could consider? Not now, of course, but it would have been an option.
I know I'm not familiar with any specific funding that we can get for that. I know that that is something that is done, so I would just have to spend some more time looking at how the nation would engage in those conversations to get to move forward with that. But I know that does exist.
Thank you.
Speaker Walker.
Came in late. Did you say tribal lands or tribal members' lands?
We initially want to focus on tribal lands, but then we want to, as kind of a outreach, reach out to tribal members' lands as well, because we know that you know, the feral hogs extends beyond just tribal owned lands.
Thanks.
Anyone else have any questions for this budget?
So did you have any more of your presentation? Do you have any more that you'd like to talk about what you're doing with ENR?
I supplied kind of an overview of what we've done from October 1st of 17 through about last week. So. I don't know if that's helpful to anyone to kind of see what we do. I can go over it just briefly. We had three of our employees go to wildland fire training with the Wildland Fire Department, so we can assist both their department and we can respond to fires as well. And it helps us build better land management recommendations as well for individual landowners. We sent out a letter to restricted landowners. We've been working on developing our water permitting program. So we're right now just focused on groundwater. So we sent out a letter to all the restricted landowners, which were 803. And that letter pretty much just says that our permitting program right now for water wells is completely voluntary, but we just want to gather data. We don't know where water wells are in Osage County. The Water Resources Board doesn't permit those in Osage County, so there's no way to know where water wells are located. So we're just trying to get people to voluntarily work with us and see if we can find those water wells and provide free permits just so we can start building a database.
So out of those 800 plus letters that you sent, what type of response have you had back with those, Ms. Hayman?
I think we had two voluntarily fill out the paperwork to be permitted. We have probably, give or take, about 20 phone calls or so asking about the program, and we've had a few people come into the office. But I think overall, less response than I would have expected. Mm-hmm. But at least it's the start of engaging landowners.
So did you guys do any advertising in the Osage News possibly to,
no? No, we didn't do any advertising. Okay. So far.
Okay. I think that the Water Task Force kind of talked about when we entered into this phase of permitting that it's really going to take some education for the Osage people to, for them to understand what the objective is here, instead of them just strong-arming and say, this is leading to more regulation. But it really isn't. It's a data collection tool so we can quantify our groundwater here in the Osage Nation. So I support the initiative, and I hope that we continue to move forward with it and try to figure out how to get a better response from our Osage landowners. Thank you.
Moving on to our grants, we have the UIC grant, the underground injection control. We've had that grant since about 83. So, and it's about the same. We've so far up to now had 1,064 inspections of class two injection wells, and that's what that program focuses on, is managing and making sure all those disposal wells and injection wells are functioning properly. So we take that function from EPA, and in the rest of the state, it's the Corporation Commission, and in Osage County, it's EPA that manages that. So we have that function with EPA. Our Clean Water Act 106 grant, we do surface monitoring, surface water monitoring with that, and we take monthly samples at 14 sites, and we've had that grant about 15 years as well. We've had that for a long time. We did get some extra money in this previous year to purchase some continuous monitoring probes, so we can put those in creeks wherever we see fit. Based on the saltwater issues that have happened in Bird Creek up north, we can't do Bird Creek in that area for a few different reasons, but we want to be able to use these probes and look at different areas in the county, and you can leave those probes in for longer periods of time, a month or 2 months or whatever, so we can continually monitor the salinity in the creeks and see if there are other areas that are experiencing some problems, and just try to be ahead of that. So that's new for us this past year. The General Assistance Program is another EPA grant. With that program, we survey sections of land for saltwater scars and tank batteries. We're up to, as of last week, 680 quarter sections for saltwater scars and 887 quarter sections for tank batteries. Under that program, we also work with EPA to inspect tank batteries. So we don't actually do the inspection, but based on our surveys of sections of land for tank batteries, if there's a tank battery that is visibly having some issues, or it's leaking, or the equipment's not working, then we notify EPA, and then they come in and actually do the inspections. So we're not the authority with that. We just respond to EPA if we see any issues.
So the numbers on the surveys for the saltwater scarring and the tank batteries and the number of sections, are those numbers reflect just how many quarter sections you've covered, or, and is part of that information you take just to locate the scarring?
Yes. So we want to identify land that has saltwater scars, and then be able to, we map that out in our database, and then we can go back in the future and look and see if it was remediated correctly, or if it's not getting any better, then we can try to coordinate with EPA on going back and revisiting that site and seeing what we can do to make it remediate it again.
I have more questions about that too. And has your concentration been on our Blue Stem Ranch property quite possibly, or can we do that with this, these non-tribal dollars, concentrate on our?
We could focus, there's kind of a system in how we go about doing it, but there is some flexibility to focus some of that effort on Blue Stem. So yes, that is something that we can do.
Because I know you probably are aware that the Department of Interior says that they can't consider putting that land into trust because of the scarring and the staining out there. So mm-hmm. I think that your department could be instrumental in data collecting. And also, I don't know that their count and their numbers were actually correct in what they calculated for the volume of land or the acreage that was that way. So you said that the EPA, you talked to the EPA about this scarring also, or just the tank batteries?
We talked to EPA about, we focus on the tank batteries, but we also have talked to them about scarring as well.
So does the BIA, Branch of Minerals, ever get involved in any of these conversations or data?
It does. There's been recently some issues on Blue Stem that they're, both agencies have been involved. So so that does happen. Most of our conversations in regards to this is with EPA, but there are certain situations that come up that it includes BIA in the two agencies, including us, having conversations.
So I'm probably getting you off your report here, but I'm real interested in knowing how we're going to come together as a nation to, because we have, how many wells, producing wells do we have on Blue Stem right now? 1,600?
Something like that. There's a lot.
And I'm real interested in knowing how our nation plugs in as the property owner out there with any problems that might come from the production. And I know it's a touchy subject, but I don't see how that works together, but I really think we need to know. Do you have anything to add to that? Because I don't know if I'm really clear, but it's just a question in my mind, how we handle that as a nation. Land Department, ENR, BIA, how does that work together? Mm-hmm. Board?
I think that's a good question, and I think that there's definitely some room to have conversations to line that out. From our perspective, like I said, EPA manages the injection wells and tank batteries, and then BIA manages production wells. So there's, I mean, and probably for any landowner who has production on their property, that's kind of a hard road to walk down because there's two federal agencies involved. So I think as a landowner, as the nation being a landowner, engaging both those federal agencies, I think that we have a really good relationship with EPA and can engage them pretty quickly and pretty easily. I can't speak for BIA, that's a different situation that can be a little more challenging, but I do think that there is some room to better understand, you know, this is our role. I mean, with these grants and UIC and GAP, the General Assistance Program, that's our role with the nation and with EPA. How TDLA fits in as kind of the leasing land manager. I'm not for sure how the best way to describe mm-hmm. their functions. And understanding how maybe as the nation's landowner, those things are reported. There's a hotline, so it's the National Response Center. So that's how we get notified of any issues, is people report those to the hotline. So if there's anything outside of that, I mean, I think we have a good line of communication with Blue Stem Board. They've contacted us if they've had issues. Although we kind of get in a position where we're not a regulatory authority with injection wells or tank batteries and the spills that coincide with some of those functions. So all we pretty much do is we're the middle person between the nation, the Blue STEM Board, and EPA. So there's probably a better way to go about streamlining those processes, though I'm not certain right now how that would look. But I think that that's worth engaging all the parties and figuring that out.
I think it is worth engaging all the parties, and I know that that's probably above your level to pull that together. So thank you for that description. I appreciate it.
Congressman. Speaker.
Ms. Jones. Ms.
Heyman.
Heyman. Sorry. That's an interesting conversation that I would like to continue, and don't necessarily have to bog this budgetary process down with it, but you said earlier there's 1,200 active wells out there?
Approximately.
Are those active pumping wells, or are those open well bores and all of the above?
I would say that's a good question that I would have to find out to answer correctly, but I would think that that's more active wells. I'm not sure the number of open well bores. I don't know that there's any way to really know how many are out there, but we have maps of old, to our knowledge, records that we can go back and look and try to get a number.
I've seen that some of them are 100 years old. So it gets into the, we have a constitutional duty to protect the environment. The Department of Interior still has a role, a major role, fiduciary responsibility to administer the minerals estate. How is that working? How is that balanced out right now? Because we do have, we're trying to get land into trust. And those saltwater spills, some of them have been burdened on new lessees. And then they're getting the finger pointed at. And they're big, they're hard to fix. And there's also, I'm curious if your department has an opinion on the best way to remediate those saltwater spills.
I've heard about the one spill that's been out there. It may still be ongoing. I know that it's been a big issue. I don't know the magnitude of what it is right now. So I don't know offhand how well it's going on the ground with BIA managing the production out there. I know my UIC inspectors have a lot better handle of that in our GAP people, because they're out there on the ground all the time. We have some general recommendations on, you know, remediating saltwater spills that usually comes down from EPA, so we kind of follow those recommendations. Then I can get copies of that, but I don't think that's answering your question of like how it's actually functioning out there with BIA managing their responsibility to our mineral estate and well production, oil production.
Fair enough. Actually, we could talk about that for a long time. I don't want to bog this meeting down with that.
Just want to do one quick response to Speaker Walker. Speaker Walker, I think it's a conversation we need to continue, especially about the land into trust issue. I have definite views on it that scarring and the staining happened under the supervision and the watch of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And I think that the tribe should not take on, it's our land. We're responsible for getting it set back right, but I think that the fiduciary duty of that was the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So I think it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I haven't heard it. I haven't had that. I haven't seen that conversation has happened. So yeah, we'll move on because we can't solve that problem today. But thank you for talking with us about it.
Senator, if you want to continue, or you
ready? Sure, I'll be brief. I don't want to spend an extreme amount of time on this, but part of what we do is environmental reviews for the nation. We do environmental assessments for roads and housing and any new development through TDLA. We also handle any of the environmental reviews with housing. So if you wanted to look, it has the numbers on here, but that is a function of our department. We've spent a large amount of time over the last few years trying to do more outreach. I feel like a lot of our functions are behind the scenes and no one really understands what we do. So we've really tried to expand and move into more educational opportunities. We've worked with the education department to help implement the science fair. We've helped implement the summer ecology camps that they do. We always try to have booths at different, you know, kids events and things like that. We have a water model that we can take with us so the kids can kind of simulate rainfall so they can see where the water travels across different kind of terrain. So this last part of this is just kind of showing the things that we've tried to expand and do and try to get people to understand environmental type work and that we're here. We can help people, and then there's a lot more we can do. People just don't know we're there a lot of times. So that's what the last part of that is. And I did want to mention too, we've issued 48 hunting and fishing licenses since October 1st.
And that's for Bluestem?
Yes. And we have amended our policies and procedures to kind of tighten the language with that. So as it was, the language was a little bit broad. So it would appear that if anyone wanted a hunting and fishing license, they could come to us and get one, which is true. But it's not for just Osage County. It needs to be for a existing lease at Bluestem Ranch or any other tribal lease.
Property.
Mm-hmm. So we've kind of tightened the language with that, so we don't have any issues with people using our licenses inappropriately. So, but yeah, we're excited to at least be expanding on that part of our department.
Congresswoman. While we're talking about hunting and fishing, where do we stand on possibly getting funding or finding funding to fund us a game warden?
We started the process to applied for a year ago A&A funding to try to get game wardens, and we weren't awarded. So we were going to reapply. We always kind of get into the conversation of, we have funding for 2 or 3 years under the grant, but how is that funding going to continue after the grant? So we ultimately decided not to apply for it this year because I couldn't answer that. I don't know what the solution is for that. We need game wardens, and I am a huge advocate for game wardens. And we talked about sending some of our staff to CLEAT so we can kind of bring down those costs, but it still becomes an issue of how we're going to fund that after the grant's finished.
So if you have made grant application before, what does it look like the cost in a budget of tribal funds would be for a game warden? If you don't have those figures off the top of your head or can't give me a round figure of tribal dollars that would take, you don't have to answer, I understand.
I don't have a firm number, but I think it's in the neighborhood of maybe $150,000 a year by the time you, and that's with a new person on staff and all of their equipment, vehicles, things like that.
One person, right?
I think that was, right. So that might have been even two,
okay,
if I'm not mistaken. And I'd have to find out for sure, because I was thinking that was hiring a new one and then sending one to lead or something like that. But it's not a tremendous amount of money. It's just finding that after the grant is finished, that that's the issue.
Speaker Walker,
do you still have long enough?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I would just like to say at this committee table, to me, we have invested and purchased a 43,000 acre ranch. We have other trust property and we have restricted property that we own, and we might lease some of that for hunting through our land department. And to me, these are the kinds of things that get delayed when we don't set priorities as a nation. We need a game warden. We need these people to have the dollars. If we're truly a sovereign nation, we need this department to have the dollars to be able to do the assessments and have the staff to do the assessments of our wildlife on our properties, to set hunting tags out for our own properties. That's just correct and respectful management of the resources that we own as a nation. And I have continually seen this budget cut and cut and cut. Do you operate, how much tribal dollars do you have in these budgets? Well, we'll look at them in a minute, but we don't augment this department, to me, that's critical and crucial for our nation, with very minimum tribal dollars. So anyway, I'm done.
Speaker, two questions. One on that, along those same lines, on the hunting licenses, is there any prerequisites? I may have forgotten the law, like as far as, do you have to have an Oklahoma hunting license before you can get it?
You do. And you have to have an Oklahoma hunting license, and if you're a youth, you have to have the education.
Education card. Good.
And they're free right now. We're not charging a cost for those, and especially since they're existing leases on the Osage Nation. So if you just come get them, they're there.
Are you guys still doing American Burry Beetle assessments?
We are.
How have those been going? How often do you find them?
Funny you should mention that. We just found four 2 days ago. So, and we're doing, this particular one was not for the nation. We're doing it for a producer, and we found four in the same bucket. And so we haven't done as many. We did a large amount of surveys on the Bluestem Ranch 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I believe. So without doing it on the ranch to that magnitude, we have been doing them for Bird Creek Farms and for any other tribal development project. And so for any of those extra projects, we haven't found any beetles.
If the nation were to engage in a lobbying effort to remove the beetle from the endangered species list, how would you feel about that from an environmentalist standpoint?
That's a tricky question, because I feel like in our office, we're advocating for the wildlife and we're advocating for the environment, but we also understand the livelihood of producing and producers and other types of development projects. So I feel like as long as there's data that supports that there's enough beetles or enough positive movement in their range, I guess, then we don't have any issues with that. If we find that we're on, I guess that their numbers are declining to a, you know, an extreme extent, then that might be an issue, but we're just one voice.
Last question about that. Do you find them more often or less often?
It seems like off the cuff, we've found them consistently. I wouldn't say that, you know, there's certain factors in, you know, in a drought situation, we might find them less often. But in when we see more rainfall, we find them more often. So those numbers kind of fluctuate, but I feel like across the board, we found them pretty consistently.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
No, I appreciate your update. I love this department, but I like things like this. So Jan's been a great director.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Do we want to look at their budgets right quick? Most of them are non-tribal dollars. Okay. So I guess we're looking at your one that's tribal funding, which is called your services department. We see there's a variance, a cut from 18 to 19, which is what I've seen pretty consistent in your budgets. What's that cut? What's that $50,000 cut?
And that was, like I mentioned earlier, we have that additional invasive species funding for feral hog, which pays part of the salaries of our of three of our people. So that's where those cuts are from.
But if that, a point to that is if that wasn't cut out of your salary and wages, that would equate to money that could be spent as direct assistance to the people, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Okay. And let me see, is there anything that you want to, your indirect costs went down because of the budget cut? Anything else? Is there, let's look through here. So, since you work on grants, you guys are all split up between budgets, correct?
Yes.
Any questions on this budget? No? Okay, let's move on to Dana. They're down here, right? Okay. What's next on the...
They're in order.
They're in order, so that one right there?
That's the first one. That's the one you're on. There's
the next one. Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Cool. Setting me up so tonight. Clean Water Act is federal dollars mm-hmm. with a match.
Yes, with a required travel match.
So has this money come to you in a pretty consistent...
Yes.
The funding doesn't change?
No.
I wanted to talk about the Clean Water Act if I can. This is the one where you guys go out and test waterways, right?
Yes.
And you collect data, you put it into a database. Mm-hmm. How do we utilize that? How does that...
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. We've moved around our sites over the years. So like I said, we've had this grant approximately 15 years. So there for quite a few years, we focused on the headwaters of the different streams and rivers in Osage County. So we've moved those to different locations and several locations farther downstream to where those streams leave the county. So we want to start taking a look, and I think this, since I've kind of become director, we've changed that focus a little bit to see what happens between the headwaters. Generally, those areas are clean. I mean, unless there's some crazy specific situation, but those areas are generally pretty nice, clean areas. So we want to see what happens between there and where the streams leave the county. What's going on in between? And then if we start seeing issues, then we can start moving up the from either direction, moving those sites until we kind of pinpoint what the situation is, and then start making, to the extent that our department can, recommendations on whatever may be the cause. Maybe it's something that we can have a hand in fixing. Maybe it's a disposal well or whatever the case may be, but maybe we can start identifying those situations and trying to do something about it.
By doing comparative analysis
yes.
on the data from changing those.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, any questions on this budget, or is there anything you want to point out on this budget?
It's pretty similar.
It's pretty similar, okay. Let's go to the next one then. General assistance. I know you described what it was, but briefly, mm-hmm. what does this do?
That's to look at tank batteries
okay.
and saltwater scars. And that amount of funding went down a little bit. We got extra funding last year because of the situation going on with Bird Creek up north of Pawhuska. So last year had a little increase in funding, but 115 is about normal for what we get.
Okay. Any questions on this budget, guys? All right, let's move to the next one. Underground injection well. Oh, we got a little more.
We did. So we're able to, with the extra funding, pay more salaries out of this than services.
Okay. So this is your field inspectors, and this is a program assistant that would probably do their office
yes.
work?
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Any questions about this budget? Okay. And one more to go. Natural Resources, USGS Hydrology.
So this is the final installment of that big USGS project. And I just spoke with the person from USGS assigned to us for this project, and we should be seeing some final reports coming out around December, and they don't have a real good firm date on when they're going to show us the final model, but they're in the final stages of that, so we're really excited about that.
And then my question is, do we have the software to make that data perform for us here at the Nation in a complete way? I know that at one point in time it was, we weren't able to read all the data the way we needed to. Am I saying that correctly? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They provided us with free data viewers, so we can view the model. We can twist and turn it and cut it and slice it. But to do any high-level data analysis, we would need the software. And I don't know the number offhand, but I believe that that software is not cheap by any means. I'm thinking in the neighborhood of easily a couple $100,000. So we want to see the final product, and we want to see what we can function. And it may function to everything we need it to be with the data viewers. But when we get the final products, we want to play with it and see how much we can use it, and if there's anything additionally that the Nation needs, then we can find out more on those costs and things like that.
And mm-hmm. Okay. I want to make a statement, because as to date, I know what the objective was when we first started this USGS relationship to qualify and quantify our groundwater here in Osage County, because the Oklahoma Water Resources Board completely leaves Osage County out of their comprehensive Oklahoma water plan. We're not even included in it. The initial thought was, we as a Nation, that the Water Task Force came up with years ago, we were going to figure out and write our own comprehensive water plan. That, and then also the Oklahoma Water Resources Board comprehensive water plan for the state of Oklahoma does not have a sustainability factor built into it. It doesn't tell how our waters, the usage, the rainfall, it doesn't have comparative data that builds sustainability as far as usage goes, how much communities use, how much industry uses, when do we need to put conservation measures in. Many states, Texas, California, other states, that's how they handle their water resources. We don't do that. When we initially started down this project, one of them was to quantify our groundwater. I don't even believe that the Oklahoma Water Resources Board comprehensive plan has groundwater figured into their plan. So that's when we started the relationship with the USGS, and it was a partnership, and we did things and they did things, and the Nation has paid for this fantastic modeling of our groundwater. And we don't have the software to run it, and we don't have a comprehensive water plan yet for the Osage Nation. And as you can see, their tribal funds have been cut $50,000 yet again this year. And if we are really, in my view, if we are really engaged and serious about our water rights in Osage County, this would be done by now. Because we were on track with the plan to do it. But now we have some fantastic information. The plan was to prove the model data, because it shows where our groundwater is, our good groundwater is, to drill those wells and to start showing responsible use of waters in the Osage Nation. And none of that's happened. So that's just my little throw out of what I know about this and how I know that this department's very important. And they don't have the dollars they need to do the functions that I consider to be a very important thing for everybody that lives here in Osage County, including, and most importantly, our membership. So thank you for presenting your budgets to us, Jan.
You're welcome.
How many many employees do you have in your department?
There is 9 of us total.
9? Okay.
I just like to make a comment. You live in such a different world than, I'll speak for myself, than me. And I find it fascinating to be able to come down here and listen to you and your expertise, and you've been properly trained, educated, experienced. How long have you been with the nation now?
It will be 12 years.
12 years.
In 2 months.
And I always enjoy and appreciate the information that you bring to the committee and to the Congress. And I want you to know that, you know, you're well respected and appreciate your efforts. To me, the two things that now, with the purchase of the ranch and with the expansion of the casino, those are two things that are very important to me. Mm-hmm. To me. And I agree with a lot of what Congresswoman Whitehorn has to say about securing and investing in this ranch that we have, because it's double, tripled your workload now with the added acreage. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you probably are underfunded, but you're not underappreciated. And continue to speak up, and because that investment is probably the nation's one of the largest assets we've ever had, and we have got to take care of that ranch. So, having said that, before we close, but what is just one obstacle, your biggest obstacle that you have right now, or that you would like to see remedied?
I think our biggest obstacle is just, as far as technology goes, us being behind in technology just across the board. GPS units, things like that, that now state-of-the-art, do all this crazy, neat stuff, and mm-hmm. we're kind of using units that are 15 years old, that sort of thing. And it's just a cost. It's expensive, mm-hmm. and we know that, and we make do with what we have. But to be able to move forward into this century would be nice, mm-hmm. Because we could just do a lot more with less time, mm-hmm. and I think make nicer, bigger maps. I mean, just whatever it is, it'd just be a lot more efficient and mm-hmm. nicer, easier, well, better functions.
I appreciate that. It sounds like you do have some new technology with these. Is it a submersible monitor mm-hmm. to track with salt water, the water that you have? That's new.
That's new for us, and yes.
Paid with federal dollars,
yes.
and mm-hmm. submerged, and you mm-hmm. anchor them down, and they do whatever they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I'm talking on grade school level.
But it's fine. Yeah, and we get excited about those little things like
that. You guys get excited about that, and beetle bugs and banks and all that. The culture walk's going to be out at the, mm-hmm. I think they've changed it now to
encampment.
And that acre, you feel they're going to be secure. And as far as your department goes, they're going to be. Oh, no wild hogs are going to come running through there.
Hopefully not. If they do, let us know, because we can go get them now.
Okay. Well, Jan, again, just appreciate you and everything.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Congresswoman.
James, the chair. I think we've all noticed the cuts that this department, but others have had. I think that there's a responsibility with all of us, each branch. And I agree, it's an important department. We've taken on this land, and we've also sat here, 12 of us, and voted yes for a bigger bathroom in the back. And I'm just saying, I think that we need to prioritize as a nation. This body needs to be consistent too. And I think that more now than ever, I'm very reluctant to vote yes for things that are considered more pet projects, and we've had some good things come across the table, even in education, that has taken a lot of money, and they're good projects. But what's more important, having money available for a department like this to take care of the land, the thousands of acres that we have now acquired, or starting something new within education, like what's that called, the STAR
Scholarship
Program. STAR Scholarship.
Sorry.
Or what's more important, you know, I just think that we all have a duty to prioritize and to help our nation along.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Well taken. Congresswoman Stabler.
I also just wanted to make some comments because all of the things that you all are talking about, I live on that. We have had, you know, such devastating news a couple years ago. All these years, the self-sufficiency I wanted to see in the villages was defeated because the water table is no good. We're sitting on top of an aquifer and we can't reach it because of what's gone on with Bird Creek, is what we're assuming, and they're monitoring it. But, you know, that should have never happened to begin with. We didn't do anything to cause it. It all happened somewhere else, and it filtered down to us. And so I agree. It was one of the most important departments we have for our environmental issues. I was criticized in the 90s for being an environmentalist and in an oil company, in an oil capital world, but I've seen the damage over the decades, and I'm sure you've seen it over the centuries, what's happened to us. And even though we still are mowing green grass in the village, we can't punch any wells in the village. And so I don't know how to get to that point now. We're just at a stall. And I think it's devastating. It's devastating to us out there. That's it.
Congresswoman Whiteman.
Looking for the language. haven't got this one memorized yet.
Hang on.
It's on our minutes, too.
Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah.
Considered and accepted.
I move to have the minutes reflect that sections 22, 29, 30, 31, 32 have been considered and accepted by this committee.
Motion to approve and second. Discussion. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. Push my duties back over to Dino.
I was just going to let you be the guy, and I was going to say if there's no other conversation, if anybody wants to say anything else, I move to adjourn.
Okay.
Motion in a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
We are adjourned.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate
you. You're welcome.
My ear's chicky. How's baby?
He's good. He's getting paid.
We had lunch with all of them the other day. And